Nothing like asking Dad at the last moment to sing the song for us, the special. You know, it's a privilege to be in a family that loves the Lord. It's a privilege to be in a house of God that loves the Lord. Sadly, we seem to be in a country that is loving the Lord less and less by the day. Hopefully we come out of this with families, which is the building blocks of the church and of everything. Hopefully we are taking this time to learn the lessons that we need to learn so we can come out of this stronger and hit the ground running. We've had several issues. Even as I walked out of the booth, the sound was acting kind of funky. Can I say that word? Is that word allowed to be said? Is that okay? Our sound team needs lots of prayer, okay? We're having a lot of issues. Our one computer crashed on us midway, and I had to bring my laptop in. We had a few minutes to try to get that together. So if you're watching with us, I appreciate you just giving us some patience as we continue to work through that. We're going to be in John chapter 11. I have a couple Bible stories that I just really, really love. There's words in those that crack me up that is said. One of them is when Peter is speaking, and I talked about this in my Sunday school lesson, where he talks about our works are as dung. I think that's interesting, especially towards the idea that these people think our works get us into heaven, and Paul says, well, they're as dung, they're as manure. I think that is interesting. The story of Lazarus is another one. I really like the idea of when it's said that he stinketh, okay? He stinketh. I like that idea. I think it's funny that that comes out in a story with Christ raising a man from the dead. They're concerned about how he smells in the tomb. I understand it's because he's been in there for a while, and they're using that as an issue towards that, but I think that's kind of funny. So I want to get into John chapter 11 here. I want to talk about the story of Lazarus, and I want to talk about some lessons that we can learn from the story of Lazarus. We often come into various situations in our lives of various degrees. Of difficulty or effectiveness in our lives, how much they impact us in one form or another. And so as we enter into them, how we handle them is really based upon how we react and what we've learned and how we apply that to these situations. So sometimes those situations, they can turn from good to bad, or from bad to worse. Hopefully they turn from worse to good after a period of time, but it's in those times and how we handle them that really reflect who we are in the body of Christ. And you really want to get to know somebody, you get down and dig into the trenches with them, and that's where you'll find out the type of person that they are. How do you handle these situations? Do you instantly fly off the handle? Do you handle them, carefully? Are you focused on the things of God? Are you concerned about people around you? So how we handle particular situations, encounters, or however you want to call it, trials and tribulations, depends on how true the Word of God is in your heart. Now, let me preface it with this. We're not perfect. All right, we're not going to handle everything the right way. Even some of the greats failed Christ at times. You look at poor Peter when his denial of Jesus in three different times. I'm not saying because you failed God, you're worthless and you might as well just give up. This is not my point. All right, the point is those that truly love the Lord will get up, dust themselves off, and they'll get right back in, and they'll work real hard about not making that mistake again, or handling that trial or tribulation a different, or viewing the trial or tribulation or the situation as an opportunity to share the gospel with those in your life or that you know. Same situation here. You've got two sisters that Here in John, the situation, verses 1 through 3 in chapter 11, the first lesson that that I think we need to learn from this is that we should not come to God expecting our plan to play out, all right? So the situation is you have these two sisters, Mary and Martha. Their brother Lazarus is sick, all right? And Lazarus, they come and they send word to Jesus about this. Let's read these verses. Get right back to this, right, the correct chapter. Andy changes the chapters in my Bible all the time. And now a certain man was sick. His name was Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. I like this situation. You have these sisters. They've turned to Jesus in their time of need, right? Their brother is sick, and they turn to Jesus in this time of need. And I like, this is where it starts out good and it falls apart afterwards, right? Because their initial idea of, hey, Lazarus is sick, we need the healer, all right? They understand Christ to have the power to heal his sickness, all right? So they call for Jesus. Now, I really love the wording that they use here. It's kind of like they want to pull that extra card. They says, you know, Lazarus, the one whom you lovest, right? They want to make sure that, you know, Jesus, you love him. So we're thinking that you're going to stop what you're doing, right? And you're going to rush right on out to take care of Lazarus because, well, you and Lazarus now. I mean, there's Mary and Martha. And Martha, they've washed his feet, but him and Lazarus, you love him, right? How many times are we wondering in our situations, like, you know, I serve God. Me and him, right? We should have a really good deal. I wonder where he's at right now. I love how they kind of play this card of whom thou lovest. All is going well, but things don't always quite go or turn out the way that we wish. Now, it doesn't quite show it right here, but as we go through the story, we can tell that their idea was like I just said. That their assumption was Jesus Christ was going to stop what he was doing right then and there. And he was going to pack up his 12 disciples and they were going to hop into their Honda Accord. Right? Because they were all in one accord. All right? And they're all going to hop in their Honda Accord and they're going to cruise on out to Brother Lazarus' house. And they're going to heal him. And then they're going to pop out with the barbecue and they're going to have some burgers and fries. Right? Isn't that a proper, that's a good thing to do after you heal a guy from sickness, is burgers and fries. All right? Especially on a long road with 12 individuals packed in a Honda Accord. All right? So we can tell towards the end of the story, we see when Jesus does arrive that they're kind of complaining, like, where you been? If you'd have been here, they kind of get on Jesus. Now, that mentality alone is kind of cracks me up is, you know, Jesus comes rolling in, and instead of being excited about him being there, what's the first thing they do? They scold him, right? Sometimes we have a plan in our head, and instead of us just saying, Lord, if thy will be done, no, it's, why aren't you doing it my way? Why have you not handled this situation the way that I think you should handle it? And that's funny. Our infinite mindset can't comprehend, our finite mindset cannot comprehend the infinite mind of God, and yet we're going to scold him in the actions. It's just like, Andy over here, we bought this motor. Well, actually, a guy gave me this motor. I mean, he's going to try to tear this motor apart. We've made a little bit of a mess in the garage. And so I told Andy, I said, here, do this and do this and do this. Lori and I were trying to put together a door frame, our screen door in the back. And, you know, I said, when you get done, come holler at me. I hadn't heard from Andy for quite some time. I'm getting a little concerned. So I walked down there. And great idea. Andy decided he was going to clean off this old motor. Right? Start out with a good plan. You know what he did? Took an air hose and blew all the rust off of the engine, which mama's brand spanking new car is from here to that stand. Garage door is wide open. There is rust all over it. No mask, no safety glasses. And he's just, and he's got this smile on his face when I come walking. And he says, look at what I did. I decided to help clean this off. I said, and you just put metal particles all over everything and in your lungs and all over your mama's brand new car. You are in trouble. And I said, you got to go talk to your mama and figure out what she wants done. And I went back to him twice. He's like, can't you talk to her? You see, we don't quite have the knowledge that we need to know how to handle every situation. Now, we can try, but just like in that situation, we end up making things a whole lot worse. And this is Mary and Martha. They have their idea of how this should work. Jesus should stop. Jesus should come, and Jesus should heal, and all is well. But that's not quite how that works out. Second lesson. Christ has his own ways. God's ways and his viewpoint do not always align with ours, and that is probably the hardest thing we will ever learn, if we ever actually grasp that anyway. And it's a tough one. And this entire story is filled with this. Jesus does not act the way that I think he should act sometimes. And it's interesting. Here in verse 6, we read, now, mind you, he's told that Lazarus is sick. The Lazarus whom thou lovest is sick. And what does Jesus do in verse 6? And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 more days still in the same place where he was. Jesus kicked back with a glass of iced tea and had some other stuff to handle for a little bit. Now, here Mary and Martha, I'm sure they're like, where you at, Jesus? Jesus, he's relaxing for 2 more days. He's got other things that are going on. The problem is that plan that we come up with does not always work with his ultimate plan. And we see in three situations here of why he doesn't work. Of course, he's the all-knowing God, right? So he can do whatever he wants. But this story shows to us a couple different situations in here on why his plans are different. Because Mary and Martha, they're thinking about Lazarus and Lazarus alone. And just to be real, they're thinking about themselves. They can't bear the thought of losing their brother. Now, I'm not saying that they don't love him, but their ultimate thought process when this is going on is, our brother is sick. You need to come take care of our brother. Let's hurry on up here. We see in verse 4, one of the reasons Jesus doesn't come right away. He says, when Jesus heard that he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Listen, sometimes it's for his glory, right? Sometimes we have to go through what we're going through so the glory of Christ can be shown. In this particular situation, Lazarus' death was going to be a sign to those that unbelieve that when Christ shows up and resurrects him, then the belief is strengthened or encouraged in some, others that it turned them against him. But sometimes we go through a situation because the power of Christ needs to be shown to all of those that are around us. Sometimes a miracle needs to be to happen so others might see Christ. Things are not always our way because his glory needs to be shown. There are those around us that are hurting on a regular basis. And sometimes they need to know that they can't get through it on their own works. And that only through the power of Christ can we truly come out of a situation. Listen, and the outcome, sometimes we get confused on what an actual outcome is. Sometimes we get hit hard, and sometimes we lose some things, but God can still get the glory. And things get tough. And that's the hardest pill to swallow, is that idea of, I might have a plan in my mind and I'm going to have an outcome in my mind. And those may not always happen. And I may have to learn how to live with an outcome that breaks my heart. Because for his glory. The second one there is verses 11 through 14. He says, these things he said, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may not, or that I may wake him out of his sleep. Now the disciples, they don't understand. They don't grasp what's going on. Then they said to the disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking the rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Listen, sometimes our understanding is lacking. And so we have to go through a situation so that we better understand who we serve. These individuals here, and we see later when they come up with leaves, they understand that Christ can heal the sick. We see with the disciples, even towards the end, after the death of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the whole idea of the resurrection, some of them kind of missed that concept. They went back to work and whatnot, okay? We don't understand everything. We miss out. And even in this situation, he tells them, right to them, he says, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him. And he's talking to them, and they misunderstand what he's saying. Now, I'm not talking about crazy loony bin people that don't believe in Jesus Christ or off the rocker. I'm talking about good, solid men of God, his disciples, who heard the exact words out of Jesus' mouth and misunderstood what he was saying. Okay? We're not perfect. We're going to misunderstand what the Word of God tells us. Because partially, we've got a mindset of the way it should say. And so we hear what we want to hear. We have that same problem with our children and stuff all the time, right? They hear what they want to hear. They hear parts of what they want to hear. And these individuals, these 12 disciples, Jesus was speaking directly to them, word for word, and they missed it. So don't let that beat you up. You're not expected. That is why it is very important for you to be a round, good, solid Bible preaching men of God. That is why you should. Does it matter what church you go to? Absolutely. Because even solid disciples of Jesus Christ can misinterpret what he is saying. You've got to be in a house of God that preaches the house of God, that is tight with God. It does matter what you read, who you listen to, and who you hang around with, because the best of the best even still miss it. And if the best of the best can miss it, how do you think those that have no clue or care don't care if they're going to even get it right half the time? It is super important. Our lack of understanding sometimes puts us in situations and causes the situations to go from good or from bad to worse. The last one that I want to talk about there is verse 15. After he says that Lazarus is dead, he says, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Sometimes it is for our growth. Sometimes you just need to grow up. We're not quite where he needs us to be. And that is okay. That is just fine. Jesus says, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. This is a tough pill to swallow. Because this does not sound like the Jesus that is preached in your wishy-washy, your cotton candy churches these days, all right? That Jesus looks at them and tells them, he says, I am glad that I was not there to heal Lazarus. I am glad that I was not there to keep him from death. Now, that does not sound like the gospel or the Jesus that some churches preach today, and the idea of, He is all loving. He doesn't want you to go through anything. He'll give you all this money, and he'll take care of you and hold you in your arms like a little puppy, and all is swell. But then Jesus here, he is told Lazarus is sick, and he kicks it back for two more days. When his disciples misunderstand what he's saying about the sleeping, he tells them that he's dead, and then follows that up and says, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. He says, you're missing it. You need to see this so it deepens your understanding and your faith and your belief in who I am in. See, Jesus says things sometimes that this world doesn't like, and this is one of those that I am glad. Sometimes we just gotta grow. And sometimes it takes some harsh words to get us to that point. Sometimes, like I said before, we need a miracle to happen to remind us not only of why we serve Jesus, but who we serve. You see, we can all sit here and say, well, we know, you know, Jesus is our Savior, but is he always our Almighty King? Do we sometimes misunderstand what he can do and what he does and who he is? You see, sometimes we put ourselves, our ideas, our thought processes, our mindset over the plan that God has in place. Sometimes we build a false Jesus. We wouldn't look at a Jesus as, I'm glad that I wasn't there to save Lazarus because of your faith. Now, here's the thing that scares me. It seems like Lazarus and his two sisters are having to go through this because the disciples need to grow. Now, bring that forward to today. It would break my heart to know that because I'm not growing in Christ the way that I need to go through, that one of you may have to go through a hard time because of my stubborn hard-headedness. Sometimes people think, well, no one else is affected. That is not true. We have person after person after person that is affected in this story because of lack of understanding and doubt and unbelief and spiritual growth. And that is the sad part, is people in our lives will suffer for the way we treat the Word of God. If we don't apply it, if we don't act it out, if we aren't focused on God's will, God's plan, we will affect those around us. I promise you, I know of people that were affected because of the things that I have done. It is important on what we preach and teach. It does matter on how we live because it affects everyone around us. It affects my children, it affects my wife, it affects my friends, my family, those at work. It does affect. Sometimes we get so caught up in our own wants, wishes, and desires that we temporarily have forgotten that God is in control. Especially when computers shut down, and it's really hard to think God's in control when a computer shuts down right dead smack in the middle of service, okay? He's in control. I don't know his plan. It may not look like it's in control to me, but that doesn't mean he's not. We just have to have faith that whatever it is his will. But that requires us to be where he wants us to be. That requires us to have the right mindset that he wants us to have. It requires us to know the word of God that he has given to us. It requires us to have the right relationship with him that we're supposed to have. So for our growth, lesson number one was don't come to him with your own plans. Lesson number two was that Christ, he doesn't always act the same way that you want him to. The third one is that we need to remember in this story is that God is mighty. God is mighty. Verses 17 through 19 read, then when Jesus came, he found that he was lain in the grave for 4 days. Now Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha, Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Jesus is not bound by time. Now, there's a song about this that, you know, so I serve an on-time God. He arrives 4 days late, they say. But when he arrives late, he's right on time. We see that Christ is just kind of moving at his own pace and he's doing his things. But when God arrives, because of who he is, because of his mighty power, he is always on time. He always handles it. We're stuck in time. We watch rusted engines die. We watch rusted bodies get older and more rickety. Everything we know of has an end date. But you see, our God, he works outside of time. He's not bound by time. It's interesting because we even see there in verses 16 and 17 there, 16, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto the fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Upon hearing, it seems like it takes Thomas to nudge Jesus, like, come on, man, Lazarus is dead. We all need to go see him. It's like, I just see Jesus as just kind of like, you know, we get there when we get there. But he knows that it doesn't matter when he arrives, he'll handle the situation. It doesn't matter when he gets there. He knows that it could take a week or a month to get there. And when he gets there, he could still restore the situation to his glory. But even those great men of God that are around him, even the mighty disciples, the 12 that set the world on fire, building his church, or standing here saying, he is dead, let us go mourn his death. When they have the keeper of time, the one who has the power over death, standing right next to him, and their concern is, poor Lazarus has died. We should go pay our respects. Come on, Jesus. I thought you loved him. Why are you just still sitting around? I still got some tea left. Verse 19, we see that many others had arrived. It took Jesus quite some time. And many of the Jews, it said, came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Jesus rolls in, and there's all these other people that had arrived, all these other individuals that come to pay their respects and tell them how much they were sorry and that they loved him. This particular part should speak to the idea that when we're going through hard times, the devil constantly puts in our head, where is your God? Why is he not here? What is he doing? Where is he at? We're that instant civilization. Everything is, we throw it in the microwave, and if it ain't done in 30 seconds, it takes too much time. Commercials nowadays drive me nuts. I download stuff, right? You know? And there's still a commercial, one commercial in my 30 minutes. I'm like, oh, I gotta sit there and wait for that whole commercial for a half a second. We can't wait anymore. It's now, now, now. And the devil gets to us when God is, when we're waiting on him, the devil is pounding on us. Where's your God? Where's your God? Where's our God? Listen, I'm telling you, he's on his way. He's coming. Christ will be there. The sisters are none too excited when Christ arrives. In verse 21, they're actually getting on him. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Could you imagine stand before Christ and say, if you'd have been here, if you'd have done what you should have done, my brother would not have gone through what he went through. But don't we do that? When things don't turn out our way, don't we turn on him in the first place, start to complain? Where have you been? Where are you at? Our God is not burdened by time. We are the ones that are stuck by time. The next thing about him being mighty is he can still work despite our limited understanding. We already spoke a little bit about that. Verses 23 and 24, it tells us, Martha said unto him, I know that ye shall rise again in the day of the resurrection of the last day, because Christ had told me 23 that thy brother shall rise when she was yelling at him. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, he shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? Of course, then Martha misses this idea. She doesn't grasp the idea that he can do it now, just like he's doing it later. And she agrees. She says, I understand that in the final days he'll be resurrected, but I missed my brother now and you weren't here. The grief has caused her to misunderstand what God is telling her, what Christ is saying, that I can resurrect him whenever I want. I am the resurrection of life. I have the power. And despite her limited understanding of what is going on, God can still work. Mary and Martha in verses 21 and 32 both lack the understanding. Verse 32, it was basically the same thing that was said in 21. 32 says, then when Mary was come to Jesus, Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Verse 37, and some of them said, could not this man, which have caused that even... I skipped it. Andy's in there messing my Bible again. Some of them that said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have not caused that even this man should not have died? Several of those around didn't understand the true power of Christ. Sure, they understood that he could heal the blind, but now they're doubting him and his ability to heal the sick and keep a man from dying. See, time after time after time, we throw things up and we go, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this? We get down to verse 39 once again, and then Jesus said, take away the stone. This is my verse. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Even up to the removing of the stone command, they continued to doubt and not understand who Christ truly was, that he is our almighty power of all things. They didn't even think he had more power than Axe the body spray, because he stinketh. See, they're all wrapped up in their own grief and their own situation and their own mindset on how things should have worked. They're all stuck in, this is how it should have went, Christ. Where were you? You should have been here. He never should have died. And as he's standing before the tomb and he's saying, roll that tomb away. They're rolling the tomb away going, but he stinks in there. He's dead. What is the point of bringing him out here? And he's telling them, I'll raise him. I am the resurrection of life. And they're still stuck in that mindset. Great men and women and disciples of Jesus Christ missing the point because of their lack of understanding. So stuck in their mind's frame. Listen, brothers and sisters, it is okay if you miss the point when you're going through your hard times. We get our body gets tied up into this. Our mindset gets locked in because we wanted it to happen this particular way. But we serve a God. We serve a God that is not bound by time. And we serve a God that doesn't matter how limited our understanding is, he can still work. He can still go through. I know there will be those that will tell you, well, you have not because you want not, or that you don't have the faith, and you know, he can't work. Listen, our God doesn't need my faith. He doesn't need me. He created the entire world with the word, and we weren't even here yet. He doesn't need my understanding to do what he needs to do. When it's his will and it needs to be done, he'll find a way. Because he is almighty. He is power. Now this is the great part. This is the lovely part. This is the amazing part. Why is he mighty? Because death has no power over our God. Death has no hold when he says, goes. Verses 40 through 44, this is the one that should make us shout and hoot and holler and all that other kind of fun stuff. 40 through 44, and Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place from the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou heardest me. and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave cloths, and his face was bound with him a napkin. And Jesus said to him, loose him. Loose him and let him go. Jesus makes it clear by his thanking God the Father that they all needed to see this power. You see, all of this was leading up to the fact that there was a bunch of unbelievers and those that were lacking understanding of the true power of the God we serve. All this happened. Poor Lazarus had to spend some time in the grave, had to come out stinking, also that so many people could truly grasp the idea that we serve an on time, almighty, powerful God over death, Savior. We serve the Almighty God. No other God in this world that has ever been spoken of has the power over death, has the power over resurrection, has the power to save us from our sins, and not a single one of them is alive today but our God. Our Jesus Christ fought death, broke through the chains of death, and entered on into heaven and made us a way that every single one of us can serve and make it one day. Our God is Almighty God. He calls Lazarus by name, and death has to release its grip. Death bows down to Christ's call. Lazarus walks out of the tomb alive, walking towards Christ. Nothing is too difficult for our Lord, no matter how bad things have gotten. Our Savior has all the power. So many times we get stuck in our situation and we say, nothing can be done. All hope is lost. Woe is me, what can I do now? I'm telling you, we serve a God that can get us through anything. If we just believe and trust in his will, that again, over and over, our outcome is not going to always be his outcome. Our God is almighty. Our God is all powerful. Our God has zero limits. Zero limits. You question God's ability to work through your situation. This is the one that kills me all the time. People say, there's just nothing he can do. Really? How about the jailer? In the middle of an earthquake going on, all his people he thinks lost and gone. His life's over. Death's going to happen. And through an earthquake, God, two individuals in jail. You can even look at Paul and Silas in jail. What do they do? Mercy and grace find this jailer. When he thinks all hope is gone, Christ is making a way. He is now going to live in eternity. How about Joseph? You want to talk about a guy who thinks all hope should be gone? It seems like one bad time after another for that poor man. Over and over, if anybody should say, woe is me, what in the world, where is my God? You know where that God was? He was putting him on a throne so he could be the savior of his family. They won't die in the famine. God can work through hard times. Every time, if you're focused, if you're set forth, and you take the opportunity, are you shackled in a dungeon? If you think you're chained to the wall, sing praises to the Lord. Witness to the jailers. Speak to the bakers. Speak to whoever you can. God can work in every situation, and sometimes we're there because someone else needed us. Lazarus died so that God's glory can be shown about. He said, I don't care the hard time you're going through or how tough life gets. We must focus. Christ will not see it our way. Christ will not act on it our way. And he's definitely not going to feel about it our way. But that doesn't matter. His ways are not our ways. Give God full reign in your life. God is calling you by name. Will you today stand up in your hard time, rise up, and walk towards him? As the singers come and the pastor comes, I ask for you today. I don't know what your situation is. I know things are rough today, but I'm begging you, understand, we serve a mighty God that can handle any situation if you'll just take it to him and be willing to follow his path. Pastor?
Please stand if you would. You know, something I just thought about while he was preaching that. You know, it says that he stinketh. Already he stinketh. He had to have stunk. He was in the grave for 4 days. Surely he stunk. Made me think about the Hebrew children when they were in the fire. And he tells you that when they were in the fire, that they came out and they didn't even smell like the smoke. I got to tell you, I think when Lazarus came forth, he didn't stink. I think he came out smelling pretty good. And I think about that. It doesn't matter what death does to us. It doesn't matter what the world might do to us. It doesn't matter what we have to go through. I think on the other end, we come out smelling pretty good. Amen. Understand and know, God doesn't just do it a little bit. Man, he takes us all the way. Makes us everything he needs us to be. Tonight, if there's decisions on your heart, have you decided to follow Jesus as we sing?